It's time for the Rink Rats with Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace and Jesse Granger.
The Rink Rats, Ryan the Hockey Guy, Jesse Granger. Consider this a Christmas gift, right?
Why is that?
Close enough to Christmas. And we're going to be answering all your questions.
This is true.
It is a Rink Rats Christmas mailbag.
Hanukkah mailbag, Kwanzaa mailbag. It is a holiday mailbag of all sorts.
I do celebrate Hanukkah.
That's right.
I do, yeah. It's good. Starts on Sunday. Not celebrating it, though, until the day after Christmas.
Why is that?
Because 8 days is too many. Like, it's legitimately too many for me. Like, I cannot wrap my head around it.
Yeah.
So we're just going to, like, you know, keep one nice present unwrapped or... Not unwrapped, but wrapped, but like keep it in the special place where presents go.
Under the tree?
No. We're not going to bring that. If we bring that in on Christmas, it's going to get opened.
Okay.
The whole point is saving it for the day after Christmas.
Okay.
So that the kids can each get a Hanukkah gift.
So on Christmas,
yes.
What do you do with the kids? You get up
celebrate
morning?
Christmas.
Do you do it the night before? I know a lot of people do Christmas Eve.
You know, it's dangerous. I will just have to tell my wife to not let the kids listen to this podcast, but here's how we do it. We have an entire garage filled with Christmas gifts right now. It is stupid. It's like the amount of gifts my kids are getting are ridiculous. And like my daughter's gotten to the age now where she understands that if she asks us for something and we say, oh no, like, I don't know. We already got you your Christmas gift. She's like, okay, that's cool. I'll just ask Santa. And then we're screwed. Right. So like, that happened. So my wife is the mastermind of all this stuff. She does all the Christmas shopping. She gets everything going for Christmas. I just literally have to show up in a clean sweater.
Good
That's
job.
It.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's awesome. And I love her and appreciate her for it. But my daughter, Charlotte, she's like getting really into music now. And she wanted a violin.
That's expensive.
Relatively. But the point is, she shows... My wife, she shows her mom, Amanda, she's like, hey, I really want this for Christmas. And, you know, my wife's like, hey, you know, mommy and daddy, like, already got you your presents. And, you know, I don't know what might happen. You just kind of sprung this on me last minute. And so Charlotte's like, looks at her. She's like, that's fine. Mom, it's going to go on my list to Santa. And my wife is like,
I'm so glad I don't have kids.
So I get the text message. Like, I literally get the text message. My wife's like, screenshots a picture. She's like, your daughter just asked for that. I'm like, oh, okay. We'll just tell her that we didn't get it because it's not, you know, what we already kind of got her presents from us. And she's like, no, I did. She told me she's going to ask Santa. And I'm like, okay, let's buy it. So we bought it and she's going to get a violin and she's going to believe in Santa. Because Santa exists and Santa is real, and that's the magic of Christmas.
So, okay, so my question is, so you open up Christmas presents on Christmas morning, you do the whole Christmas thing.
Yep.
What is the difference between Christmas celebration and then Hanukkah celebration the next day?
There's not really any difference. Just it's important to me that we light the candles and
we eat
the traditional Hanukkah foods, gotcha. And I'd like them to have one present to open up that
What's
day.
What's a traditional Hanukkah food?
Well, it's all about the oil. For Hanukkah, because the oil lasted for 8 days, and it's crazy, right? To me, Hanukkah traditional food is just anything that you can fry. Quite literally, anything that you can fry, but for Jewish people, it is potato pancakes, latkes, so we're going to make a lot of those. And I think I'm going to make some matzo ball soup. We'll see how it goes. I don't know.
Do you eat syrup on potato pancakes, or is that more of like a savory?
It's applesauce and...
Oh, that sounds great.
Applesauce and sour cream. Is traditionally how it goes.
I don't know. About
I was never
cream.
A sour cream guy.
Yeah,
like I'm lactose intolerant. I'm not a cheese dairy type person. So applesauce on potato pancakes is lights out, man. Like sound the alarm. It's fantastic. I'm gonna eat a ton of those.
That sounds great.
On Friday and or Thursday or whatever day it is. I don't even know.
Today
next week's gonna be
is
crazy.
December 20th. You know how many Christmas presents I've currently purchased?
Zero.
Zero.
You've done zero.
Not one.
In fairness to me, I like, in fairness to you, I guess, I haven't bought any either. Like, I've bought them. Amanda. Like money has gone toward them that I have worked for, but I have no idea. Yeah. Like, I have no clue. There's a few things that I am aware of. Like, we just got my son a really awesome Puppy Dog Pals helmet for... Because so for his birthday, we bought him that big giant Gravedigger. Yeah. Well, we want him to have a helmet because it kind of goes pretty fast. So we got him a Puppy Dog Pals helmet for his giant monster truck. Our kids are spoiled, man.
Yeah.
It's bad. It's really bad. So what are your plans for the holidays? Anything crazy?
Not much. I'm not much of a holiday person. I mean,
you're not.
And like, I don't have kids, so it's like, I don't, there's not much to do. I honestly don't do much.
You just kind of hang around.
Yeah. It's like another day.
That's fair. I get it.
But I'm not like one of those people that like hates the holiday. Like I'm all for everyone else doing like, go knock yourself out. Like, go crazy. It's just not me.
Do you have a favorite Christmas movie?
Oh, Bad Santa.
Bad Santa. Okay.
I freaking love that movie. I think I've already watched it like twice this month. Like, I love part one and two. They're both good.
Yeah, my son's favorite Christmas movie is The Grinch.
But which one?
It's the newest one. It's the animated one that came out last year.
Oh, there's a newer one? I was thinking the one with Jim Carrey.
No, that's my favorite. Like, I like...
I've seen that one a bunch, and yeah.
Don't confuse it. The Grinch, Jim Carrey, is not my favorite Christmas movie. It is my favorite of the Grinch movies.
Okay.
Probably going to catch some flack for that because I'm not saying the original cartoon. But yeah, my son loves the newest one, which is animated.
It's like one of those like Despicable Me type
animated
movies.
It is an Illumination production or whatever. Yeah. And it's a nice adaptation of it, but my son only likes it because the dog in it is really cute. He likes Max, the dog. Right,
that's fair.
And then my daughter, she loves Elf.
So that's a good one.
It's been a steady stream of Elf and the Grinch in my house all month long.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I'm not like the only holiday that I really get in, and I don't even dress up for Halloween, but like I like Halloween because I'm a huge horror movie fan.
Sure,
so I use that as like October, I'm just going to watch a horror movie every day for the entire month. That's about as into the holidays as I get.
Yeah. We love Halloween. I think if you were to ask us top to bottom in the house, like that would be our favorite.
Yeah, it's the best.
My wife loses her mind over Christmas, and the kids obviously like presents.
Of course.
Just because it's December 25th, and I know the reason that you get presents on Christmas. I get it. I understand it. But I'm not going to bring any of that into the podcast. But what I am going to say is this. If you are someone that's like not a super big into the holiday type guy, you should check out the movie if you haven't seen it yet, Christmas with the Cranks.
It's
Tim Allen. I feel like that's you at the holidays.
Yeah,
like, you're good with it. It's fine, but there's a cruise that you could take that you'd be much happier doing.
100%.
Okay.
Yes.
Awesome. So that all being said, we are here today to answer all of your questions. Granger got sick earlier in the week. Poor guy. It was that Ironman tournament, I bet, huh?
I was partially sick during the Ironman. That was like the first day of the illness. And like, it's like, you know how when you first get sick, you're like, I'm not sure if I'm sick. I think I'm getting sick, but I'm not sure. And then you wake up the next morning and you feel like death. That was me. So I'm finally getting over it. As you can probably hear, I don't really sound sick anymore. if we would have recorded this on, when was it? Wednesday, when we originally wanted to, it would have been not good audio, I promise you.
All right, so we're just going to jump right into it. If anything kind of allows our squirrel brains to morph into something else, we're just going to kind of go like that. But really, you guys have asked us a bunch of questions. We appreciate it every time we put up one of these mailbags, all the responses that we get. So this is all about you guys today. So first one that I'm seeing comes from Rich Farrell. Get better, Jesse Granger. Come on, get out of there with that. It's suck it, Granger.
I appreciate it, Rich.
All that you can go. Do you think Chandler Stephenson will stay on the second line when everyone is healthy?
No.
Yes.
Really?
I do. That line to me, and I've said it a couple of times now, reminds me of Neil Halla-Perron.
I agree with that.
And the only reason, or one of the reasons, one of the main reasons that that line worked, and one of the main reasons that line worked within the general construction of what the Golden Knights want to do, is you had a speedy center, you had a guy that could hold on to the puck, and you had a sniper. You had a sharpshooter that could put the puck in the back of the net. And those are all three prevalent right now with Mark Stone, Chandler Stephenson, and Max Pacioretty. And that speed from Stephenson has opened up so much for Stone and Pacioretty that I don't think, if you go back to Stastny, I don't think it's going to help. It's not going to make them any more dynamic. Stastny to me has been fine on the third line. Stastny to me also seems like the type of guy that can net you a defenseman at the trade deadline if that's the play that you want to make. And I've talked myself a little bit into that Shane Goss despair for Paul Stastny trade that we talked about a couple of episodes ago. So to me, you leave Chandler Stephenson there until it doesn't work anymore. And if you've got guys coming back, Cody Glass and Cody Eakin should not jeopardize what is going well right now. And that's Chandler Stephenson on the second line.
Yeah, I would, like, I'm fine with it staying. I'm not saying I would change it. I think they've been great. And I think for the same reason you just said, that I think Pacioretty and Stone play a little better when they've got some speed between them.
Well, they need that speed.
I just don't think Gallant will leave it that way. I mean, everything he's ever said, and I remember back when he switched the lines, not this time, but the last time he switched the lines up when he had Pacioretty up with Carlson and Smith and he had Marchessault down there, and we asked him flat out, if these lines work, are they going to stay? And he literally told us, no, probably not. I switched the lines to change things up and maybe jumpstart some guys who I think need jumpstarted, and then eventually they go back to my lines. And that's what he's done every time his whole career. That's what Gerard Gallant does. So, look, right now they're winning. They've won 8 of the last 12. They've earned points in 10 of the last 12. That's great. But there's going to be a streak where they lose 4 out of 5. That's going to happen. They're not going to go the rest of the season without having it. They lose 3 in a row. There's going to be a tough stretch, and I am pretty confident that when that happens, Stasny's going back between Stone and Pacioretty. I just think that's what's going to happen. Not that I would do it. That's just what I'm the most confident. If I had to bet money, I think eventually those lines go back.
I want to believe that if it's working fundamentally, and you know what? They might lose 3 games in a row. They might lose 4 games in a row. It might happen. But I don't know that the second line is constructed with Stephenson between Stone and Pacioretty. Even if they lose a couple of games, I don't think that they're going to be ineffective. You know what I mean? Like, I think that in order to move off of something, you've got to look at that line and say they're not doing their job. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that I can see a situation where that's not the case. The only question is going to be whether or not you have to move Stastny back up because he's not producing in terms of the third line, but that's an issue all unto itself, because when Cody Glass comes back, is he going to play the wing? Is it going to be Glass, Stastny, and Tuck? If it is, you've only got really one guy that can push the pace when it comes to speed in Tuck, and can you have a line with Stastny and Glass that's effective in that way when I think Stastny and Glass want to play the same way.
Yeah. So to go back to your Stastny for Gostisbehere and or Stastny for whoever, for a defenseman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The issue I have with that is if you trade Stastny, the end of the season comes and you've now have two centers under contract. Cody Glass and William Carlson.
Chandler Stevenson's an RFA, right?
Okay.
So you have control over Chandler Stephenson.
Do you think Chandler Stephenson's going to be a top six center, like, going forward now? This guy could barely crack the lineup.
I think Chandler Stephenson, between Pacioretty and Stone, can absolutely be a top six forward.
I'm not saying he's Brandon Peary, but this is very Brandon Peary-esque to me.
Sure.
This isn't, Chandler Stephenson is not going to put up 5 points in 4 games for the rest of his career. Like,
what if
that's
he does,
not
though?
Happening.
William Carlson wasn't going to do it, and then
he
did.
Oh, well, if they hit on another William Carlson. Okay, so the question is Chandler Stephenson William Carlson, or is he Brandon Peary? I think it's somewhere in the middle, but I think it's a lot closer to Brandon Peary than it is to William Carlson.
I don't think that it's a lot closer to Brandon Peary because he does other things well. right? He does a lot of other things well. He's versatile. He has utility in more than just five-on-five play. He can kill penalties. He's got some poise with the puck. He isn't just going out there, putting his stick on the ice, and skating as fast as he can to the front of the net. He is out there trying to make plays, and he is out there trying to find Max Pacioretty and Mark Stone and become a part of the line as opposed to just guy, and then the other two are creating around him. Now, that all being said, he's got to do it over the course of 25, 30, 40 games before you start to say, okay, I can see that he can give you more. But I think that just in terms of what he brings to the table, his skill set is way closer to William Karlsson than it is to Brandon Peary, just based on all the things that he does. And therefore, I think he's closer to being a William Karlsson-esque player than a Brandon Peary player. I don't think he's going to be anywhere close to Karlsson in terms of goal scoring or in terms of point production. But I do think he'll be an incredibly useful player that's got utility. And hey, maybe if you move Stastny, that opens up the opportunity for Cody Glass to be your second line center, which as a number six overall pick is probably where he should be in your depth chart.
Yeah. So just to clarify, when I say it closer to Peary, I don't mean his, cause his game is nothing like Peary. They're almost opposites. They like, I don't think his game is anything like Peary. I just mean more like in the sense of you can have 10 good games and that doesn't mean you're going to be at that level for the rest of the career. I actually think Stevenson is closer to, like, if we're comparing, like, player types, I think he's more Tomáš Nosek than he is Karlsson or Peary. Like, I think he's Nosek. I think if you put Nosek up there, now Stevenson's faster, but, like, Nosek would produce between those two because
probably
they're so freaking good. Everyone's going to produce between them.
Sure.
This is my issue. You trade Stastny away.
By the way,
I'm hoping Eakin is gone.
By the way, you're the one that talked me into Stastny for Gossespierre.
I know.
So it's
I
your fault.
I don't think trading Stastny is smart for the future just because Cody Eakin should be gone. I don't think Cody Eakin should be re-signed. Even if you trade Stastny, don't bring Cody Eakin back. He's bad. The team has been better since he got injured. Cody Eakin is a detriment to the Golden Knights. I'm sorry.
Jeez.
He's bad. The Golden Knights have gotten better just by him not being available to play. The third line has been at its best this season when Cody Eakin is not able to play on it. That's just what the stats say.
But you can't trade Cody Eakin.
Well, you could.
You can't. Like, if you're trying to make a hockey trade right now,
well,
you can't.
Well, no. You'd have
to. But you have to. Like, the Golden Knights are in a situation right now where I think they've got to get a defenseman. We've talked about for so long, right? So if you're talking about Eakin and what he can get you versus Stastny and what he can get you?
Yeah, well, it'd be picks for the defenseman, not Eakin. But my point is, if you trade Stastny, Eakin's gone at the end of the year.
Yes.
So now your centers are, going into next season, are Karlsson, Glass, Chandler Stevenson.
Stevenson, Nosek.
Okay, let's remember real quick. 2 weeks ago, Chandler Stevenson was about to be waived by the Washington Capitals. Let's just put this in perspective.
Come on, man.
The Golden Knights traded a fifth-round pick for him. They were pretty much giving him away. Yes, he's playing well, and I like the guy. He seems awesome. He's playing really well between Pacioretty and Stone. But 2 weeks ago, a team was literally going to waive him. He is a borderline roster player. This guy cannot be counted on as a top six center moving forward as his career.
Wait a minute.
Like, that's just not what he is.
Let me ask you this question, because this will get me your opinion on John Tortorella. What if Chandler Stevenson had played for the Columbus Blue Jackets and John Tortorella said that he was stupid and didn't know how to play hockey, and then the Golden Knights picked him up and all of a sudden Chandler Stevenson looks like he might be a 20 goal guy in the NHL? Would you have more faith in it then just because John Tortorella is screwed up on William Karlsson and Anthony Duclair?
Yes. The Capitals appear to Chandler know Stephen- what they're doing.
Hold on. Chandler Stevenson had a role, a big,
he
not
well.
A top six role, but a big role on a team that won the Stanley Cup that was coached by one of the better coaches in the game right now, Barry Trotz. And if
fourth
Barry,
line player.
And if Barry Trotz had him in his lineup, maybe that means something.
As a fourth line player. And
sure.
I think Chandler Stevenson is a very good bottom six center. Like, I think he's put him in there, and like he's not going to hurt you. He's probably not going to help you all that much. But remember, he had that big run in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. The Capitals came into the next season thinking, all right, this guy is going to take the next step. Sure. And then he just fell on his face and did nothing for the entire season. When that trade happened, my Twitter got a lot of Capitals fans, and they were all basically consensus was, nice guy. He helped us in the cup run. We all love him, but he never was consistent enough, and he was the worst forward on their team this season. They like the only reason he was playing was because of injuries, and once Hagelin was coming off IR, yeah, no, they were going to have to waive him in order to make room for Hagelin to come on. So like I said, I like Stevenson, and I think he can play well between – I just said before, I hope they keep him between Pacioretty and Stone. Right. I think it's a good spot for him. But I don't think over the next 3 years – he is a top six center. That's not happening. That's just not what he is.
So I guess this begs to me a bigger question. We have seen Pacioretty and Stone with Stastny. We've seen them with Glass. We've seen them with Eakin. We've seen them with Stevenson. I believe that's all the configurations, yeah, right? We haven't seen Pacioretty and Stone with Carlson.
Otherwise, the world might explode.
Probably would.
I think that line might score 50 goals a game.
But here's the problem. Here's the question that I have. We've already talked about Pacioretty and Stone needing speed through the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Cody Glass is not a fast player.
No.
If not Stevenson, and you're not going to break up your top line, because like let's just live in that world a minute. Yeah. It doesn't
well,
seem
they,
like
there's
ever,
no reason.
It's just never going to happen, yeah, right? You need a fast center to play with those two guys. If Cody Glass isn't it, then who?
Well, I think Gallant thinks Stastny's the guy to play.
But Stastny's not fast enough.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because Gallant's going to put that back together. It's going to happen.
And then they're going to struggle through the neutral zone. They're not going to get pucks in deep, and they're not going to be able to get down low and cycle, and they're not going to create the scoring chances that we thought that they would.
Maybe. I mean, that line is still – the statistics on that line are still very good. When
they're still
Stastny,
good,
Patrick, Stone.
But you still need that line to be able to do something in transition. And they can't. With Stastny in the middle of the ice, they cannot – transition the puck quickly enough and well enough from their defensive zone to the offensive zone to push teams back on their heels.
Yeah, I agree. They've been better with Stevenson. And like I said, I've been super negative on Stevenson here just because I'm trying to temper.
You don't want to call him William Carlson 2.0?
I don't think it's... Yeah, I mean, I just don't think that pinning your hopes on him being a top six center moving forward after he was literally going to be waived less than a month ago is just, he's Zekov. Like, Zekov, they claimed him on, he's Ryan Carpenter. Like, that's what Stevenson is. Maybe a step above those guys. Like, maybe one tier above Ryan Carpenter, but not, he's damn sure not Paul Stastny. Like, he's never going to be what Paul Stastny has been.
He isn't, but Paul Stastny isn't going to bring to the table what Stevenson can with his speed, and I think the speed on that line really opens things up, and it affords you the ability to have Paul Stastny on the third line.
Yes.
Which makes you deeper.
Yes.
And probably gives you better odds of winning a Stanley Cup.
Agreed, but that's why I'm saying don't trade Stastny. Because if you trade Stastny, then that third line is Glass. And, like, you know me, I'm super high on Glass. He hasn't been good enough this year at 5-on-5.
Well, he's also been playing on his off wing.
Yeah, that's true also.
You know, it's difficult, I think, for a kid. But now,
he's been good at power play. He hasn't been good enough at 5-on-5 at center or
wing. The game slows down for him when they're on the man advantage. It just hasn't gotten there yet at 5-on-5. And, you know, we got teased with Carrier, Glass, and Tuck for about a game. Was it like 3 or 4 periods? And then it all went to hell. So anyway, Rich, that's...
Man, that was a long question.
That's a long answer. I think they should keep it the same. I would like... If it were me, I'd keep it the same. I think that you and I are kind of on the same page. It's just you're more realistic in terms of if Cody Eakin is back, if Cody Glass is back, and there's some juggling that needs to be done, status quo is likely to emerge.
That's what Gallant likes to do. Gallant. God damn it.
Yeah, Gallant. Come on, man. Come on, man. You can't come on this show and say Gallant. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, Timothy Hansford, another question on Chandler Stevenson, essentially. Does Stevenson lessen the chances of the Knights playing the trade deadline market? If they do play the market, what kind of player position do you think they go for? We've answered this, I think, a numerous times. The need that I see for this team right now is defense. They need a defenseman. They need somebody that can transition the puck, that can get back to pucks quickly enough to make the right read and transition out of the zone quickly. Like, it doesn't, we talk about offensive defensemen all the time. The offense has picked up from the blue line in the last little stretch.
Yep.
That is a nice, welcome addition. Whether or not it continues, I don't know. Nick Hague, if he could ever score a goal, I feel like the floodgates will open for him.
Yep.
And he'll get more confidence, and he'll be that scoring touch that you need on the back end. But more than anything, you need someone with mobility, someone that's got enough foot speed to get back to pucks and make quick decisions, and that they can just transition the puck out of their own zone.
I agree. They used to have two guys that could do that. Now they have one because Nate Schmidt apparently forgot how to pass.
Last night was rough for him.
Yeah,
it's been a rough stretch. Like, he's not been the player we expected him to be for the majority of the season, and it's not so much that he's been bad; he just hasn't gotten better than what he has been in the past.
Yeah. So I just wrote the story, came out yesterday on Bang for Your Buck, and I like broke down how much they're getting for each salary of each player, and the statistic I use is from Dom Lucision, who's our hockey analytics expert at The Athletic.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He basically has a formula. It breaks down to GSVA, which is goal score, game score, value added, and it's basically WAR. If you're a baseball fan, it's one number to determine a player's value of everything they contribute to the game. And Nate Schmidt has been the least valuable defenseman on the Golden Knights roster this year, and it's been by quite a bit. Like, so Shea Theodore is on pace to finish at 3.43 in this GSVA.
Okay.
An elite defenseman is at 3. Three is an elite defenseman. Like, we're talking Norris Trophy, like the top 10 defensemen in the league. Shea Theodore is on pace for 3.43. Nate Schmidt is currently on pace to finish the season 0.62. That is bad. And yikes. then Lucision also calculates, based on your salary, this is what your GSVA is expected to be. So, like, an average player who makes what Nate Schmidt makes, $5.95 million, is expected to have a GSVA of 1.28, which means Schmidt is less than half that. Wow. So they're not getting value out of Nate Schmidt. By the way, Shea Theodore is almost tripling his expected GSVA based on his salary. So Shea Theodore is, according to that number, more valuable than the other six defensemen on the roster combined. And that can't happen. Like, they need Nate Schmidt to be better, mm-hmm. and they need a third one. So, like, we've been talking about, you need to add a defenseman at the deadline. I agree, they do. That defenseman needs to be the third puck-moving defenseman, not the second. If Nate Schmidt can't figure it out and they get one, and now he's the new Nate Schmidt, and Nate Schmidt keeps playing the way he is, they're still in trouble. They need Nate Schmidt to improve his play, and they need to add another puck-moving defenseman.
Completely agree with you. Also, just stick tap to Shea Theodore for having a fantastic season. And we all thought it was going to be because of offense, and it's actually been because of defense.
His defensive point shares lead the team, and like, that's not something you expect out of Shea Theodore.
67 Prairie Boy 84.
That's a great Twitter handle.
At Pond Hockey 66 is the handle.
I like Prairie Boy better.
Yeah, I like Prairie Boy too. Do we keep Glass at center where he can develop? Are we stunting his growth with line changes every other game and associated position changes? Do we keep Glass at center? What was he there for? Like a game and a half? So I think Cody Glass should be playing center. I don't know that there's an avenue for that to happen this year.
Doesn't look like it.
So he's either going to have to be able to produce on the wing, or he's going to probably be in the press box.
So to me, this is the avenue. If you're looking for an avenue for Cody Glass to stay at center and develop, and to be honest, I'm kind of in favor of this avenue. The way it happens is if, in the time it takes Cody Glass to get back on the ice, if Chandler Stephenson starts playing like the fourth line guy who is about to get waived by Washington, like, if that happens, if he flattens out and all of a sudden it's like, wow, maybe the guy we just traded a fifth round pick for shouldn't be playing between Pacioretty and Stone. If that happens and Cody Glass comes back and they don't want to move Stasny, they want to keep Stasny down on that third line, then it's Glass. And that's how you started the season, with Glass between Pacioretty and Stone, and they were good. They were very good. And you keep Stasny down on that third line to try to keep the lines a little more balanced. That's, and then Stevenson goes into the either third line winger or fourth line center role, which I think he'd be more than good enough at. That's the avenue. But like I said, if that happens, it's because Stevenson wasn't playing well with Pacioretty and Stone. If he continues playing well between those two, then Glass isn't playing center, because unless Stasny gets hurt.
You're also not accounting for Cody Eakin.
Well, I'm thinking he's getting traded, but we'll see. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to have him on the roster.
I completely agree with you, but here we are.
By the way, I talked about Nate Schmidt, his production below the what he's expected. So Nate Schmidt is currently a negative 0.66, minus 0.66, compared to his expected value. Cody Eakin is currently at negative 1.59. 1.59 is the equivalent of an average third line forward. So Cody Eakin is that number in the negative. He's actually hurting the team at the amount that a third line forward would normally help the team. Like, these numbers are very, very, very bad. And by the way, his expected output is only 0.89. So Cody Eakin is by far the detriment to this team as far as contract and how he's playing. It's like, it's in bad shape. He needs to be traded.
Yes.
I mean, and if you're not going to trade him,
Valentin Zikov, yes, if there ever was one.
If you're not going to trade him, you have to make him the fourth line center. You can't make him the third line center. It hurts the third line. You have four centers that are better than him. You have William Karlsson, you have Paul Stasny, you have Cody Glass, and right now, the way Chandler Stevenson's playing, he's better than Cody Eakin.
You wouldn't put Tomasz Nosek ahead of him?
You know what? At this point, I might.
So there's five.
You cannot put Cody Eakin back at third line center.
I would argue he doesn't play fourth line center either, because Tomasz Nosek has been very good. He's been really good the last couple of games. Yeah. Last stretch for the Golden Knights. As they've been winning hockey games, Nosek has been very good.
He has been very good. And Nosek is, we've talked about Glass not being good at on the wing. Nosek, I think it might be even more drastic. Like, when he's on the wing, he's not good. No. He got benched for a few games.
Yeah.
He got scratched for three games this season. Because he wasn't playing well, and it was when he was playing on the wing. And when he's been at center, it's noticeably
because go better. Figure, when you're a young player and you've played a position your entire life, you usually play best at that position.
Yeah, so I think Nosek, moving him to wing is, to me, you either play him at fourth line center or you scratch him.
Yeah.
When he's been moved to the wing, it's not been good.
And it's interesting because, you know, the question goes back to, should they play Cody Glass at center? You and I have both been on the record all season long. If Cody Glass is going to play in the NHL, he's going to play as a center. He should be playing center. We've been asking for this. We've been calling for it, because if he's going to learn and he's going to develop into what we think he can be, it's going to be at the center ice position. It's not going to be on the left wing. It's not going to be on the right wing. It's going to be at center. And right now, the scales are not balanced for the Golden Knights, right? Like, they're trying to weigh Cody Glass's future and Stanley Cup right now. And right now, Cody Glass, in I think the opinion of Gerard Gallant and the coaching staff, is one of those guys you put into a spot where you can get him in the lineup. And if it's not where he needs it to be or wants it to be, or not a place that's going to help his development longer term, I don't think that that's necessarily their main focus right now, because they're trying to win a Stanley Cup.
And it shouldn't be. The focus should be winning the Stanley Cup.
Cake Q3. Do fathers have curfew on dad's trip? Any rules to keep those unruly guys in line? I don't know. I would assume that they do. I don't know. I mean, they're grown men. They can do whatever they want, right?
They don't have a curfew. I don't know specifically about the Golden Knights dad's trips. This is the third year in a row that I have not been on the dad's trip. For whatever reason, I just have...
Don't do it.
I don't know the dad's trip until like the week before it. So I plan all my trips early, and they always go on a trip that I'm not on. I will say that people I've talked to, sources have told me that, like, when I've heard of a couple teams that come to Vegas for the dad's trip and the mom's trip,
yep,
and that the dads and moms go wild on the strip. Like they're out till 3 a.m. Like they don't have a hockey game to play in the morning, so they take full advantage of Las Vegas, which they should be. So I would assume the Golden Knights dads are doing the same thing when they're on the road. Vancouver is a fun city. My favorite city that I've visited outside of Vegas. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure they had fun up there. I doubt that they're on a curfew.
Good for them. Because you know what? 3 a.m. hockey, waking up at 3 a.m. to go to a 5 a.m. hockey practice as a parent is very difficult and very tough. And let them let loose. Like, I'm all for it. Let's go. That's Jesse coughing.
I thought I muted it, but I don't know how to work this damn radio station.
Scott, S. Witt. 2001, with how well the team is currently playing, do they keep rolling with it or send Zikov down when one of the Codys is back? Listen, I don't see a scenario in which Valentin Zikov stays up when Cody Eakin or Cody Glass are available and ready to go.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, we're talking about Cody Glass maybe not fitting into the lineup.
Yeah.
If Cody Glass is having a hard time hitting the lineup, Valentin Zikov has no shot at the lineup unless there are injuries. So, yeah, I mean, when there are two forwards hurt,
yeah,
Zikov is the guy. Sure. Probably. I mean, and I think he's played well enough to, like, obviously we thought he was gone because of the whole PEDs and the way the team reacted to it. But from an on-ice perspective, I think he's considerably better than, like, he's significantly better than Waugh and Peary and the other options down there, McKenzie and all those guys. I think Zikov is the guy for if there are two forwards hurt, he's getting the call up. But when they're healthy, he's not in the lineup. No way.
Completely agree. Sorry, this is a funny one. Vanessa Peterson, RNMama23 is the handle. Why is the Pacific Division the weakest in the league?
That's a great insight, because it definitely is.
Father time.
Yeah. It's cyclical. The NHL, like any sports league, is very cyclical. And there was a time when the Pacific Division was an absolute juggernaut, right? Like when the Kings and Ducks were going to Cup Finals, and the Sharks have been good like for a decade and a half. They've never won a cup, but they're in the playoffs every year. So there was a point where the state of California teams in the NHL absolutely dreaded that trip to California because you're going to get your ass kicked by the Kings, not on the scoreboard, but physically as well.
Just they're
going to beat the shit out of you and beat you. Then you have to go to Anaheim, who's probably the heaviest team in the NHL at that point.
They're
going to
do the same.
They're going to crush you. Mm-hmm. And then you go to San Jose, who's not quite as heavy, but just as good.
Incredibly skilled.
And all those three teams still have those same players on the team from 10 years ago. That's the issue.
Here's the funny thing. And I don't know, it might be the same for LA, but I came across something that I thought was pretty wild. There are 23 active NHL players in the game right now that have 1,000 games or more. Four of them play for the Sharks.
That's
it's bad.
That's not good.
Patrick Marleau, Joe Thornton, Mark Edward Vlasic, and Brent Burns.
Yeah.
And you look at him, Thornton, 0 goals.
He hasn't scored a goal. We're talking about Nick Hague not scoring a goal, and it's ridiculous. Joe Thornton has not, and he's played every game. Hague's only played like half of them. Yeah, Thornton hasn't scored a goal. Like, so it's cyclical. The Pacific Division is bad right now. It's going to be good in a few years. Like, that's just how it works. Like, you see Vancouver has a bunch of young talent that's going to be good. Arizona is on the way up, although they'll be in the Central by the time they're good.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's, like, It's always cyclical.
That's breaking well for the Golden Knights, actually. Like, when Arizona's good, they're going to be not in the Pacific Division.
Yeah, they're going to get moved to the Central, and they're going to be replaced by what we assume is going to be a very bad Seattle team. So
the NHL is fixing it for Vegas.
Always. Can't wait
to hear that. At Jared Justice, why is Zikov so big and so strong? Dean VGK Dodgers Cowboys Lakers. I don't actually see the handle, but that's fine. Not a big deal. Where does Eakin fit in when he comes back? Would they really want to take Stevenson off the second line when Glass is back, or move Glass to the fourth line? I think Jesse's made it pretty clear. Eakin's future is healthy scratch or trade.
That's what I would do. What I think is going to happen? Third line center. Gallant is going to
third line center.
He's the third line center.
Third line center.
That's what it's going to be. Stasny back at second. It's going to be Eakin in the third, and it's going and Stevenson's going to go back to a fourth line winger.
I can't stomach that.
That's going to happen.
I can't stomach that.
It's going to happen. Watch. And I'm like, for all of you out there, I'm going to be just as disappointed as you are when it happens. But I'm just trying to prep you so that it's not a shock when it happens. Like that's happening eventually.
Summerlin's most wanted.
Is that the handle?
That's not the handle. That's the name. Oh. I can't see all these handles.
Yeah, but I like the.
I don't care. That's fine.
Okay, but like, what is the? I feel like the bar to clear to be Summerlin's most wanted is very low. Like, if you're the Detroit's most wanted, like you're a pretty bad person.
The picture is a monkey.
Summerlin's most wanted. I like is, it. Is not a very. You don't have to be very bad to be Summerlin's most wanted.
It's like that Lil Dicky song.
I have no idea.
You don't know Lil Dicky?
I do know Lil Dicky, but I have no idea what song you're talking about.
Oh man, I think it's I'm gonna have to look it up. Okay. I'll look it up and maybe we can get some production put in. But it's all about never mind.
So I feel like Summerlin's Most Wanted is a play on Malibu's Most Wanted.
Hold on.
Is a great movie.
Just keep talking because I've got to find some sample lyrics.
Because Malibu's Most Wanted. Have you seen Malibu's Most Wanted, the movie?
Yeah, parts of it.
Yeah, where he's like his dad is like a politician, and I can't even think of the guy's name. He's hilarious, but he thinks he's like a badass but he's like actually not. I feel like Summerlin's Most Wanted. Whoever made that name is probably a play off that movie.
Okay, hold on. So the name of the Lil Dicky song is called White Crime. Right?
Okay.
And it's like, it's all about the crimes that he has committed as a young man growing up in the suburbs of Philadelphia.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. 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 So this is like, yeah, same thing. Yeah. I see.
It's fantastic. Hold on. Let's see. Walk into the movie with my pants full, Twix bag of chips plus a Snapple, stealing all the shampoos from the hotel's pretty bathrooms.
Yeah, that's Summerlin's Most Wanted. That's
cheating. I've been peeking in the classroom looking like a nice guy till I take your motherfucking Wi-Fi and torrent every single song in my library. Then I drive by. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah,
yes,
that's wonderful.
This is exactly what Summerlin's Most Wanted is, for sure.
So what did Summerlin's Most Wanted ask?
Is this what you expected from Chandler Stevenson? He has exceeded my ex... Or has he... Oh, I'm sorry. He has exceeded my expectations.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't expect this, but I also didn't expect Cody Eakin and Cody Glass to go out and Chandler Stevenson to be thrust up into a second line top six role. That being said, and you and I have talked about it, I think, for the majority of this podcast, how much of this is Chandler Stevenson being good or being good enough for that role versus he is a guy that's got some speed that can open things up for Pacioretty and Mark Stone to do their job because those two guys are superstars.
Yeah, and also the day they traded for him, well, I guess the morning after they traded for him late at night on the road in New York. And then the next morning we were at Prudential Center and we spoke to Kelly McCrimmon and he told us, we see more in this kid. We see more in him than they're using him for in Washington. And it sounded very William Karlsson-esque when he said it. And we kind of were like, maybe this guy could be like when we heard him say, I see more, I thought, okay, so he's not a healthy scratch. He's like a nightly, like a consistent fourth line player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not let's put him between the two most expensive players in the franchise history. But here we are. So I think he's even exceeded McCrimmon's expectations, but they did think he had more to offer.
Lewis Gregory, Lou Dog 777. Any chance of putting a package of Eakin and Marchessault for a blue line stud?
Yeah, there's a chance. I don't think it's going to happen because I think Jonathan Marchessault is important to this team, and I think that top line is important to Gerard Gallant. Gerard Gallant has switched that line up here and there, but he is waiting for the second to put it back together every time he does. And he likes them, and they have never been the issue on this team. The history of this franchise, there have been a lot of ups and downs. The first line has never been the problem, and they've been the most consistent line all season. I don't see a way that they move Jonathan Marchessault.
At Zach Attack 34, what's the status on Elvis' helmet? Day to day? Well, I think it's going to end up being kind of week to week, right? Because they didn't play, or they haven't played. By the time they play on Monday, it'll be about a week since then. I don't know. I'm not sure. We'll have to find out. But you teased.
I'm just disappointed. First, the Elvis helmet. I'm just disappointed that when they put the scratches up, they had the scratches up there, and John Merrill, who was a scratch, wasn't listed.
No love.
And then the Elvis helmet was listed. So because it was in play, I didn't know that that thing was called the Elvis helmet.
I didn't either.
I thought were calling John Merrill the Elvis helmet. Yeah. Because of his ridiculous mullet, which would have been the greatest thing in the history of the Golden Knights.
But it wasn't that, because it would have had 15 instead of 0-0.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. But I'm like, wow, John Merrill is Elvis helmet. That's wonderful.
You know what's crazy is before all that happened, like, Elvis helmet was my night to shine. 100%. He let me down. I was bummed out about that.
So, but no, you're right. I did tease. For those interested in the pregame show, there will be a new pregame show.
So we're getting rid of Cowboys and Medieval Knights.
And Apache helicopters.
Army.
Yeah. So okay. If you're sick of watching the Golden Knight take a nap in a cave and leave his sword outside it, only to be stolen by bandits of the Wild West,
of the referee variety.
Yeah, only to have Bill Foley chasing them in an Apache helicopter, and then I think the bandits start fighting over the sword themselves, right? Because then the one bandit like reaches his hand out for help, and the guy's like, "Screw you, I'm out of here," and he runs into the shed, and then so the whole thing is a disaster. I like what they do. I like the pregame show. I say cornier the better. This is Vegas. This is what we do. But that one kind of misses the mark. I have been told. It is no more. And when I say no more, they're still doing the ridiculous pregame show. Like, we're still going to get the night on the ice fighting. Like, that's still all happening. But they are changing the video. They're changing the whole thing. I've heard it's better. I don't know any details other than December 23rd against the Avalanche, which is the next home game, will be a new pregame show.
Must watch, everybody. Be there early.
It should be fun.
Be in your seats. Zed Lee, 16. Do you think Subban gets more regular starts so Fleury plays only about 50 games? How often should they play him and against what teams? Against what teams, I don't know that really matters, and we don't have the schedule in front of us to like kind of throw that out there. But I think one start out of every four games is probably the right way to go.
Agree.
And I think that's the rotation they're going to stick to, because the writing was on the wall. When Malcolm Subban became healthy again earlier on in the season, that's what the Golden Knights were trying to do.
Yeah, I think I agree with everything you said. I think Fleury should play between 50 and 55 starts, and you get healthy Fleury going into the playoffs. That's how you win in the playoffs, is with a healthy Hall of Fame goalie back there. I think Subban's been more than good enough to justify playing one out of every four games. I think as far as what teams, the only thing I'd say is I'd like to see Subban at home a little more often would be the only thing.
He's so good at home.
Yeah, and he struggles on the road, and that's a detriment to him. Like, that's like, we shouldn't give him a break. Like, he needs to play better on the road. But when you've got a Hall of Fame goalie who's been playing forever and doesn't matter if it's home or away for him, why not put him on the road?
Patrick Harrington. Hold on. We're going to get to Patrick in a minute. Mike? No. F-A-L-A-T-E-R. Falater?
All right. Mike Falater. I have no idea.
That's good. Third jersey update. Anything?
Ah, Mike, I wish I had a better answer for you.
Stumped the Granger.
It's like, I was told October 1st, way back when.
Yes.
This summer.
It's coming.
It's clearly been delayed. And that wasn't told by a source. That was Bill Foley told me that. That wasn't like, I heard it was going to come out. No, Bill Foley straight up told me it was going to be October 1st. That's what he wanted. It's still going through tests. We don't know when it's going to be released. I haven't heard any updates as of late, so I don't know. They keep telling me this season. So we still expect it to be released during the season. We just don't know when. Be cool if they did it like before the playoffs or like
sometime this season would be cool. You know, anytime. If they were, you know, going to go all in for gold in the playoffs or something.
Would
like
be
that.
Cool to be do nice a gold to, out for the playoffs.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Give me that.
I wonder how that would play on. Yeah. Okay. That's fine. Patrick Harrington. And some of these things are a little bit ambiguous, but I think I'm reading between the lines here. Do you think the situation in Philly might lead to them to start losing games and open them up to a possible trade? Does Stevenson's emergence hurt Glass's position? Who are we supposed to root for in the World Juniors this year? Is this the holiday episode, favorite traditions? So we kind of got into the holiday stuff. I assume the situation in Philly that you're talking about is Oscar Lindblom and his diagnosis with a rare form of cancer. Regardless of anything, hopefully he can live a life that he wants to live, that he feels comfortable with. Hopefully everyone in hockey can come together and just bring all of the positivity and all of the hopeful wishes for Oscar Lindblom and his family, because there are things that are bigger than the game, and that is certainly one of them. Now, as far as Philly goes, I think that they're a team that's got enough veteran leadership and enough depth around the edges to continue to win hockey games regardless of losing one player. And Carter Hart, if he's on and playing well, he's going to take that team as far as he can take them.
Yeah, I agree. I don't see any issues with Philly, but I do think that they could be a possible trade partner. Not every trade partner has to be a team that's tanking, that's trying to, like,
if you're looking to make a hockey deal, exactly, then I think the Flyers make a lot of sense. And we've talked about Gostis Bear for a while now, at least a couple of episodes. He has not been the Shane Gostis Bear that the Philadelphia Flyers were hoping he was going to be when they signed him to his contract. If they can get a piece back the other way that makes sense and makes them better, they're going to do it.
Yep.
100%. So Stevenson's emergence hurt Glass's position.
We kind of talked about that.
We kind of got into that a bit. It really depends, I think, on a number of different situations. And I think that we've got to kind of suspend this idea that Cody Glass should be a center on this year's team.
I also think we need to we do this all the time, and I always say this, but like, we have to stop asking, what are they going to do when they're all healthy? Because they're never going to be all healthy. Like, that's never going to happen. So, like, even if it happens for a couple games, one of them's going to get hurt. That's just hockey. So, I think we get a little too caught up in what do we do when they're all healthy? Because it's like, it's never going to happen.
Chad McVean. He's got a lot of questions, man.
Oh, let's go.
First one, or the best one. Which young D will get traded for a third line winger?
None of them.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think anything. Yeah. I don't think there's a trade there. Will Eakin leave via trade or as a UFA?
That's not an easy question to answer, because Gallant likes Eakin. I'm going to keep doing that until I finally get it right.
You don't have to get it right.
No, I do. So Gallant likes Eakin. If McPhee and McCrimmon hold a meeting with Gallant and say, we're thinking about trading Cody Eakin, Gallant's going to say, okay, you guys do your job, you do what you think's right. But if it's a 50-50 toss-up and you're asking me to be the tiebreaker, I want Cody Eakin on my roster. So it's not a sure thing that Eakin gets traded. But if you got to move some cap in order to fit a defenseman in at the deadline, Eakin sure seems to make the most sense.
This is a question that's going to make people angry, but I thought it was kind of funny. Ken Sandback. If a Stanley Cup were awarded to lunatic, uninformed, armchair Twitter fans who hate half the players and often the coach, would you say this fan base are contenders?
No. Who asked this?
Ken Sandback.
Ken Sandback, I challenge you to wade into the waters of Toronto Maple Leafs Twitter.
Oh. I don't think Vegas would even be top five.
No. All of that sounds negative.
It's really funny. It was a well done tweet.
It is. It's a funny quote. And the thing is, read it again.
Okay, I'll read it again because it's good. If a Stanley Cup were awarded to lunatic, uninformed, armchair Twitter fans who hate half the players and often the coach, would you say this fan base are contenders?
Okay, yeah. So the main word in there that makes it a negative is uninformed.
Yes.
And yes, there are uninformed fans in every fan base.
Uh-huh.
I would concede that, yeah, there are probably more uninformed fans in Vegas' fan base than there are in maybe, like, cities that have had hockey longer. That just makes sense. But I will say there's a ton of informed fans that follow the Golden Knights, and especially like if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably one of the informed fans because you care enough to listen to hockey podcasts and you care enough to read about it. Like those people, like every fan base has those. But the lunatic, armchair GM, hate every player,
hate coaches,
all of those to me are positives for a fan base because that means you care.
Yeah, I agree. 100%.
The more a fan base cares, the more angry they get when they lose, the more armchair GM. As a person who creates content and needs people to care about the team, I hope every fan is a lunatic armchair GM. Because if you're a lunatic armchair GM, you care that much about the team to want to make trades and want to do. So, like, I don't think Vegas is a contender because Toronto and Montreal and Vancouver, like, those cities are insane.
Couple of things. I agree with you 100%. I want people to have opinions. I think there's a misconception that I don't like it when people have differing opinions of me. Have you ever tried to argue with somebody that has no opinions?
It's hard.
It's impossible. It really is. It's impossible. It is incredibly difficult to come up with content in that situation. However, what I will say is this. To give you an idea, to give you a perspective on, as you mentioned, Toronto, Toronto fans, Toronto media, Austin Matthews has 21 goals this year, I think. Maybe a little bit more. But I think last I checked, it was 21. Austin Matthews, 21 goals. On pace for 49 goals. 49 goals in the NHL. And it is considered, by many, fan in Toronto, a down year, a bad year.
Yeah.
For Austin Matthews. 49 goals.
They're bad brutal. Year.
Yeah, they're insane.
They are freaking brutal.
And, like, I get it. When you haven't won for that long, you tend to get a little irritated, especially with where the team is right now in the playoff picture. But if you want to talk about fan bases that absolutely lose their shit on their teams, look no further than, like you said, Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver is crazy.
And, like, Detroit, their fans are not as bad, but like Detroit has a lot of people that care. Pittsburgh, like there are a lot of passionate fan bases. And like, give me passion. Give me a fan base that's crazy, that wants the coach fired, that wants the players out, like over a fan base that's like, if they're good, cool. If not, no big deal.
Yeah, it you want passion. You want that level of excitement. You want to have discussion, whether you agree with it or not. You want to have some people that challenge well-established ideas and thoughts and opinions, and that's a good thing. So that's, I think, a great way to end this podcast. Again, this is the special edition mailbag holiday Christmas Kwanzaa Hanukkah podcast that we're going to try to do, I guess, every year now because we started it year one. Hey,
we literally tradition. Just decided a tradition.
Tradition. Anyway, Jesse, what are you working on? Where can people find your stuff?
So theathletic.com/Granger, you can get a discount there. It's December 20th, and I have yet to buy a Christmas gift. If you are sitting there and have not bought a Christmas gift and don't want to leave your house, you can gift the gift of sports coverage. Any person you know, they probably have five favorite sports teams. We have the five best writers covering those sports teams, I promise. It's you can gift them. It's very easy. You just put their email and their name in there. It sends it right to them. They get their subscription, so you can do that. What am I working on? So I just came out with that piece breaking down the salary cap. I had a blast with that piece. I don't know if people reading it like it as much as I do. Like, I just love that stuff. I love the getting into how much value per dollar they're getting. As far as in the future, I am currently in the middle of writing a Max Pacioretty story that'll be going out tomorrow. So is this posting today?
It'll post today. Yeah.
Cool. So if you're listening to this the day it came out, tomorrow, Max Pacioretty story on his career year. And I spoke with Pacioretty. He was very honest about he was in the spotlight a lot in Montreal, whether it was when the team was good or when the team was bad. And he's now having the best year of his entire career. And the former Canadiens capital having the best year of his career should be headline national news, and I feel like almost everyone is just kind of letting Max Pacioretty slide under the radar, and I asked him about it, and he basically said, that's exactly how I like it. He literally told me, do not give me credit for this.
Oh, that's
so
fantastic.
I'm writing a story on basically Max Pacioretty's playing the best hockey of his life, and nobody's paying attention, and that's just how he likes it.
That's beautiful. Yeah, give the gift of the athletic and start popping those champagne bottles.
Yeah.
Ambiguously.
Yeah.
In tweet form.
Just tweet about champagne popping. No reason at all.
No. Like, zero reason for you, right? Anyway, I am Ryan the Hockey Guy. You can follow me on Twitter at Ryan Hockey Guy. You can hear me every day, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m. on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM for the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show with Frank Harnish, as well as the pregame, intermission, and postgame show also on Fox Sports Las Vegas. Every single time the Golden Knights decide they want to wake up and play a hockey game with or without the Elvis helmet. Thank you guys for tuning in. We will be back after Christmas, probably before New Year's, but, you know, that really depends, I guess, on the road trips and what's coming up with your schedule, but we're going to try to make it work. So thank you guys again for listening. If you haven't already, subscribe, do so, and give us a 5-star rating. Give us a comment or two. It could be just as simple as a hashtag suck at Granger, but it really does help out the podcast, and it helps us continue to produce this content for you. Thank you. Have a happy and safe holiday season.
Happy holidays.
When we're done, just like violently shake you or...